2 Timothy chapter 2. I hope this morning when I leaped from 2 Timothy 2 to Hebrews that leap made sense. I hope everybody knew why I went to Moses. Did you or did anybody leave going, I don't have any idea what those verses had to do with each other? The connection with 2 Timothy, was it clear that Moses and his family were not entangled? I didn't come right out and say it. I left going. If you ever stand in front of anybody and do a devotion, a lesson, or a message, you leave and you replay it and you replay it and you pick it to death and you're like, I shouldn't have said this. I meant to say this. And I left my best point out. So I left. I said, I hope that connection between 2 Timothy and Hebrews was at least implied, if not outright stated. Verse 4, no man that warreth entangleth. Would you let me say this? No man that entangleth warreth. No man that warreth entangleth. No man that entangleth warreth. Brother Brett came up to me afterwards. He said, brother, I can't get that word out of my head, entangleth. Here's one of the definitions. A sheep entangled in briars. And here's what the author said. This helped me so much. Because like we've figured out through God's Word and through the help of the Holy Spirit, it's not sin. Now that mental picture, thorns, you know, but that was a wayward sheep. That's just a mental picture of what it means to be entangled. But here's what the author said. He said, you're entangled when you can't get out yourself. That's how you know if it's a legitimate thing you're supposed to be involved in, maybe a little heavy, maybe a little burdensome, certainly will be wearisome. I have had numerous people come to me and say, you're helping me. Here's what one said, I'm war slap out. Okay? That's why we need each other. That's why we need church. Because a lot of you's gone back to what's wearing you out, but this is a little respite. It's just a little spiritual R&R, if you'll let me say it that way. But the author said it is get the mental picture of a sheep in briars. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Back to Hebrews 11, please. Hebrews chapter 11, look at verse number 23. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Let me say one thing about that verse before moving on to verse number 24. This world is nuts. That's not just a preacher ranting and raving because I don't have anything else to say. This world is crazy. Okay? Let me give you an example. I'll say it discreetly. It's probably somebody's going to go, I think our culture has got so messed up that anytime you talk about anything sensitive, people are just like, where is he going with this? I'm not going anywhere. Anywhere I'm going, I'm just going to say to you, we've got the, quote, Me Too movement, which is the one half of the population that's supposed to be female, okay, saying that the other half of the population that's supposed to be male, I'm choosing my words on purpose, okay, are all a bunch of animals, and the women are, you know, having shields up and mace and tasers, you know, to keep the animals at bay. But yet they protest their right to dress, walk, and act incredibly provocatively, even by the world's standards, for the purpose of getting attention from the other half of the population that they're declaring is animals. So they want their attention, but you can't admit that they've got your attention. And then that's also in the middle of a culture which is telling children, you have 4, 8, 7, 10, 12 years to decide if you're a little boy or a little girl. Okay, Christy Kelly, Caps. She goes to Zirconia. Billy Kelly's daughter, Brother Billy and Miss Dot and Christy were at the house eating one night when Dad was preaching. And Dad had a little miniature Pekingese. Tammy can tell you she was higher in the pecking order than either of Daddy's biological offspring. And I mean, she ruled. She ruled the roost, okay? And Christy was about, Christy Washer, she observed, and she looked at my mom and my dad, and she said, that a boy dog or a dural dog? Is that a boy dog or a dural dog? Okay? And we're living in a culture that don't know if they're boys or durals. But all the while, vehemently declaring, these are my rights as a woman. Well, what if you find out? I'm not being ugly, but I am trying to draw attention to their lunacy. What if you find out next year you weren't a girl? But you've just been arguing and declaring for the last however many years all of your rights as a girl. Church, that's crazy. Brother Breck's niece looked at him several years ago. It's a sensitive issue that I won't deal with tonight. But she looked at him one day. She was a little girl. And she said, Uncle Breck, that don't make no sense. Little children understand that they're living in a world that don't make no sense. You know, it's the emperor has no clothes and everybody's telling him how great he looks. And finally a little kid says, but he's naked. You ain't supposed to say that. You're supposed to tell him how good he looks. No, he's naked. He's in his birthday suit and it ain't his birthday. We live in a messed up world. And here's the reason I'm telling you that. Raise your kids with sense. Give them a moral compass. Give them a foundation. And in 18 or 20 years, they're going to be the only one in the county with half a brain. They're going to be the only one to stand on a debate platform and say anything that's halfway articulate, and the rest of the morons are going to vote for them. Y'all didn't get that. Who was going to be the next Pharaoh had he not chosen to forsake it all? It was Moses. The one with the Hebrew, a Bible, albeit shorter than ours, foundation. You remember the other service when I said I wish I knew how many Hebrews were taken into captivity? Was it here or were we in another service? I can't keep them all straight. When a preacher told us he'd studied it out and knew. Was it here or was it elsewhere? Brother Kenny Baldwin. Okay. Okay. I didn't think it was here, but I didn't know where it was. He said from his studies, there were more than 10,000 taken into captivity, but approximately 10,000 were teenage young men. How many stood? Four. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, commonly known as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Four stood. Who did a pagan king turn to for counsel? Not 9,996. The four who had a foundation. Give your kids a foundation. When the tour guide says, 150 million years ago, this was created. Look at your child and say, it was 4,000 years ago and it was the flood. Flood. F-L-O-O-D. Don't be as obnoxious as I'm being right now. Don't let your kids buy all that junk. When they say, look at everything that we have in common with the monkey. Turn to your child and say, look at everything that we don't have in common with the monkeys. The man that Emily's trying to witness to, he said, we're all animals. We're no different than they are. She said, have you ever seen one build a skyscraper? Combat this idiocy with your children. Give them a foundation and you're liable to raise a Daniel. You're liable to raise an Esther who says, I'd rather be dead than compromise my heritage. Heritage won't get you into heaven, but it'll sure give you a whole lot better chance of meeting Jesus. Okay, so let's look at verse number 24. Verse number 24. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Glory to God, that's not in my notes. But I need to find a way to get it in there with the people of God. Number me with the people of God. number me with the people of God. I love sinners. I reach out to sinners. I care for sinners. I want sinners coming to hear the message and to singing and to testifying and to get their hands shook and to do what Sally did, bump into a wall of love. I want that. But let me tell you something. At the end of the day, when we're choosing sides, put me with the people of God. You young people, don't bow your head and don't mumble when somebody says, "What'd you do yesterday?" So I went to church. Dude, it was amazing. It was incredible. How old are you, Allie? All of you young adults and teenagers that work, here's what y'all need to say tomorrow when they come dragging in on Monday. Or y'all been there. Everybody's been there. They come in with their bloodshot eyes and they drag in and they say, "Dude, what'd you do yesterday?" Say, "Man, I was at church yesterday. It was absolutely incredible." A 10-year-old, a 40-year-old, and a nearly 60-year-old fat preacher didn't talk to each other, and all three of their messages wove together like a fine piece of tapestry. There ain't nobody but a God in heaven could have done that. Hand me those pliers. And then you be the best one on the job. I'm telling you, don't hang your head. You're a child of the King. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. I am going to do something tonight for the next 5 minutes that I do not do more than once every 3 years. I'm going to read something to you. Stacy sent it to us this week. Most of you know Danielle. Stacy's friend, raised in the Mennonite tradition. The Mennonites are just like the Holiness, who are just like the Independent Baptists, who are just like the Southern Baptists, who are just like the Pentecostals, who are just like fill in the blank. There's people in there that sincerely know and love God, and there are people in there who are trusting tradition, and they're going to spend eternity in hell. Danielle told us point blank. She said, "Most of what my people do is tradition and it's works, and they're going to fry in hell if they don't meet Jesus." And she didn't say it smart. It broke her heart. Danielle knows God. She's precious. I wish she could come back soon. I got to read this to you. It fits too well with this message. Stacy sent it to us this week. She starts off an email with Matthew 16, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." Stacy's 33 in a week and a half. Danielle's about a year or two older, 35 max. "As much as I try to..." This is her email to her friend. She's not trying to be a speaker on the missionary circuit. Somebody who serves 6 months and then spends the rest of their life telling everybody what they did as a missionary. They're out there and they get big offerings from churches. Listen to what she wrote. "As much as I try to give up comforts in life, it's not always easy. My culture puts much importance on comfort and I find myself thinking the same way. I make choices, buy things, and work hard to keep my life comfortable." Listen to this, Miss Amber. "It's not wrong things, but God has made a clear point to take some of these comforts away, and it's been especially painful. I hesitated to write this because in a way it feels so fickle and foolish, selfish. Secondly, I'm not trying to sound like my life is terrible. It's not. I have so many things to be thankful for, but I do feel the weight of the cross I've been asked to carry. Recently, I've wanted to set it down and go home. I don't want to carry it. I've been working in Uganda for the past couple months." She's a PA, physician's assistant. "I've been working in Uganda the past couple months and enjoying the clinics that are set up in the islands of Lake Victoria." That's enjoyable. You seen pictures of Lake Victoria? The Salt Clinic, that's a capital S, so that's a proper name. not a seasoning clinic in Bangladesh asked me to cover for a nurse practitioner taking a furlough. The visa wasn't going to work out, and I was looking forward to staying in Africa. All of a sudden, my visa documents came through. Have you ever secretly hoped something didn't work out? I had to go to Kenya to finish it, though. So I booked a first-class seat on a night bus to Nairobi. It's a long journey. I've done it several times. Was looking forward to a seat in the front right behind the driver so I wouldn't get sick. I arrived for the overnight journey, but the bus trip had been canceled. The next bus available only had a seat in the back. The 14-hour journey in one of the tightest seats in the back of a bumpy bus is hard. She's not over there making a movie for Hollywood. She's over there serving the Lord. I got so sick, and sitting for that long is excruciating. I cried in disappointment of my lost first class seat and asked God to help my disappointed self. People in time immemorial have packed their coffins, endured months of travel, and suffered pain to do what God wanted them to do. Surely I can handle one painful bus ride. It was difficult finding the embassy, but by some miracle I found my way around Nairobi. The whole experience getting to Bangladesh was trying. Last year, my time in the camp was frigid and painfully cold. Now it's hot, humid, and miserable. The roads make me nauseous. Because it's Muslim, they have to stay 2 hours away from where they're serving. We ride in a little cardboard buggy. There are times I'm sure I won't survive another trip. The mosques blare so loud I can't sleep at night. Several mosques are screaming as I write. The electricity often goes off, and it's always when it's needed the most. The area is exclusively Muslim. The culture is difficult to adapt to. And of course, I arrived just in time for Ramadan, the Muslim month of fasting. I don't like seeing patients during Ramadan. They're weak, they're dizzy, but they won't take injections, pills, medicine, or creams of any kind because they're fasting for Ramadan. I miss access to an X-ray machine and an ultrasound. Patients come in with fractures and they have to be referred to the camp hospital. But that hospital has an X-ray machine and it's closed and not accepting patients because it's a Muslim holiday. Tomorrow they're closed for Friday because it's a holy day. The next day is another holiday. A little boy broke his leg running away from an elephant. He got tired of coming to the clinic only to be transferred to the camp hospital, so he stayed at home with his fracture. What kind of hospital is closed even one day, not to mention three? Another patient had complications carrying twins, but with no ultrasound to be able to confirm what the exact problem was, she delivered on the road. I found a child with a significant cardiac murmur, but no one does an ultrasound here. I can't wait to have an ultrasound access in the clinic. I am excited that an ultrasound probe has arrived at my home in the States. I hope it makes it in carry-on luggage across the globe in a few weeks. I'm even more excited to use it. I pray, listen to this, I pray I'm a wise and faithful steward. Thank you, Lord, for letting me be a part of this endeavor. I've lived in many cultures, but for some reason this one is especially difficult right now. I pray I learn what God wants me to, and I believe His purpose, and I will find His purpose for me being here. I write this in hopes that it gives you encouragement to take up your cross and follow God's leading in your life, however big or small it may be. Please pray the patience will be open to the gospel and that I'll have wisdom in when and how to share it. It is illegal to proselytize. Pray I have much patience during Ramadan. Pray for the safe arrival of the ultrasound and wisdom when I'm using it in His service. There'll never be a book written about her. She'll never go on a speaking tour in all likelihood. And there are thousands of people like her all over this planet sharing the love of Jesus with people who have never heard of Him. I'm reading that for my own benefit as much as I am yours. Moses chose to suffer affliction. I don't think you'll have to think very long to know what that meant. He was Pharaoh's daughter's son and chose to be a what? Slave. Everything you know about slavery, he left that palace and went to be a slave. Let's look at verse number 24. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused. Listen to me carefully. Verse number 23 was all about his parents. I extended that this morning and made it all about us as a church. The Lord helped me, and I'm thankful for those who said it spoke to them. But I want you young people to get something, and I want you to get it sound and solid in your hearts. Verse number 24, there's no mention of his parents. Their job was done. 24, Moses chose. I want everybody in here, especially the youth, but I want all of us. What are we choosing? For our own. Thank God for the family unit. Thank God for the examples. All of you are near or nearly there, that point where you have to choose for yourself. You've been in the public workforce 2 years? 3. Time flies. There's not a doubt in my mind you've had lines drawn in the sand. Let me tell you something. When you never outgrow that. But for you young people, the first time they draw it, here's what I tried to do, Brother Aaron. I tried to paint myself into a corner. I love Jesus, and I don't do that. Here's what they'd come up and say. Can you do this when you love Jesus? Sometimes they's mocking, and sometimes they's being respectful. It really didn't matter to me. You say, Brother Ames, you paint yourself into a corner. That might be hard to get out of. You just made my point. Thank you very much. This world, we don't need any more wishy-washy Christians that teach training union Sunday evening, Sunday school Sunday morning, and take a week off and take the youth group God knows where in the summer and just brags about all their service. But then their life, their language, their attitude, their everything about them is no different from the world 6 days a week. Wait, that's killing us. Come on, church, that's killing us. And the South is full of it. And the Carolinas, Georgia, and Tennessee are eat up with it. I went to the Bank of Greer. I thought I was a missionary. I thought I was going to tell those people about Jesus. And I heard how they talked. They talked about what they watched the night before and where they had been and all that. And buddy, Friday afternoon, they was all fighting over the copy machine making their Sunday school materials for Sunday. And I'm like, I thought I needed to witness to you, and you getting ready to tell somebody about something on Sunday. I don't know what you're going to tell them. That's wrong. That's wrong. If y'all believe that's wrong, say amen. That's wrong. But we need to be real. Yes, there's room to grow. Yes, that change is a lifelong process. Hey, I ought to be more like Jesus than I was a year ago. I'm thankful for that radical moment of change, but He continually works on me. And for me to just continue to look and act and talk and respond more like the world than I do Jesus, after years of growth, if that happens to my grandbaby, the newest one, I can promise you we're going to be checking out something. Doctor, she's not eating. I got to ask you, church, have you eaten? She's not responding to stimuli. Breaks my heart to see God work and move in His service. And we all respond differently. Oh, yes, yes, 1,000 times, yes. But let me tell you something. You're going to respond. You poke. Let's talk about the babies. You poke a baby. Some of them's going to squeal like a panther. Brighton's going to go, That's about the most you're going to get out of her. But that was a response. Bothers me when the Holy Spirit of God moves in a service and there's no response. I want to run back there, Brother Doug, and do this. Oh, I ain't getting no pulse. Come on. Somebody call 911. So I'm just asking you. He chose to suffer affliction. Mom and Dad, their job was done in verse number 23. Verse number 24, Moses said, "Your God's my God. I want what you've taught me to be lived out in my life." You young people, if you're having questions, if you've got doubts, if you've got insecurities, if you've got things in your life that bother you, can I tell you what you need to do? You need to sit down with somebody and say, "I've got doubts, I've got questions, I've got insecurities, I've got problems, I've got things I can't sort out in my mind." Listen to me, I'm not ashamed to say it. Everybody in here has been there. And they're lying if they say they're not. The first Adam was my first daddy. Thank God I was born again. And the second Adam became my spiritual daddy. And that first Adam, I tried to die to the flesh this morning. But I'm telling you, he's been in that coffin kicking and screaming trying to get out. And some people who think they're so sanctified, they're a whole lot more like that first Adam than they want to admit. If you don't think so, you get Aunt Bertha's baked beans instead of Aunt Lily's baked beans. And Aunt Lily, who thinks she's been sanctified to the point of no sin, you watch her when you get the wrong baked beans at the family dinner. I'm preaching good. I've seen Aunt Bertha and Aunt Lily go at it. That ain't right. That doesn't honor Jesus. You can be a Nazarene. You can be an independent Baptist. You can be a fire baptized Pentecostal Four Square Holiness for all I care. You got a sin nature that's alive and well. It's alive and well. Young people, say personal. How many young people do I have in the room? If you're young or want to be, say it with me. Say personal. It's a personal choice. It's a personal choice. Nothing breaks my heart any deeper, any more profoundly. And I rarely do it anymore because most of us are so blind when it comes to our own kids. Shame on us. Shame on us. But there's been times I've brokenheartedly, Brother Mike, gone to a mom and a daddy and I'd say, "I've got concerns about your child. This is what I've seen. This is what I've heard. This is what I've observed." It rarely goes well. Because everybody thinks theirs is the next David Livingston. Can't tell us much about our own. God help us. That's wrong. We ought to be that. And I'm not talking about being a busybody in other men's matters. Let me make sure that's clear. If somebody sees something and has a concern, I see young people, they've got that faraway look in their eyes, Brother Fred. They're looking at that far country. Number one, it was personal. Turn to Mark chapter 8. This morning's message was Moses' raising. Tonight, I'm looking at Moses' refusal. Moses' refusal. Mark chapter 8, verse number 34. "And when he had called the people unto him, with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this. Would you look at these two words? It is no exaggeration to tell you they jumped off the page at me. We think it's bad today, and we act like it's never been this bad before. Have you read Genesis? It's a mess. And look at what Jesus said 2,000 years ago. Adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. I talked about his personal decision. And I want you to notice in Mark chapter 8, let every man take up, look at that next word, his cross. Can I be totally honest with you? God has not called me to Bangladesh. I believe we ought to be willing to go. I believe that. With all of my heart, I don't believe I have any rights to tell God where I will and where I won't serve Him. No reserves is what Bill Borden said. No reserves. God has not called me to Bangladesh. That is not my cross. But I've got a cross. And I believe if you're going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, you've got one. And it's your cross. And God hadn't called any of us to turn around and tell somebody else what their cross is. You let them see the cross on your shoulder and the fact that you're gaining your life, not losing it. And you're rejoicing. And you're carrying it in victory, that'll make them want to pick up theirs. That's Bible. That's Bible. Number one, it's a personal. Number two, it's permanent. You know what troubles me in 2019? It troubled my daddy 40 years ago. It troubled Brother Spurgeon 150 years ago. It's not new. Pick up the cross. Lay down the cross. Revival, their favorite revival preacher comes and they get all worked up and they grab their cross. If you need a cheerleader on the sidelines for you to pick up your cross, you're not a cross bearer. Because there's no cheerleaders in the cross bearing competition. If you've been in this thing very long, you've seen people pick them up and lay them down. Pick them up and lay them down. I wish the church was full. I wish people were coming instead of going. Everyone that's walked out the door in the last 6 months, a pang, P-A-N-G, has gone through my heart. You go home and you say, what could I have done differently? What could I have said? What could have I offered one-on-one? What could I have preached? What could I have taught? What would have made a difference? So I don't take joy in somebody leaving. But let me tell you something. I'd rather have 75 learning to bear their cross than 150 Southern churchianity members. Now, I don't know if you feel the same way. Let me tell you something. You get 50% of the congregation just here because they got a good dose of Southern North Carolina churchianity. And it looks good to go to church. It looks good to go to an independent Baptist. It looks good to go where they preach a King James Bible. And you can just promote all that where you are. I went to church with people who were proud of the fact that they went to Pleasant View Baptist and Larry Raines was their pastor. But they didn't live or appreciate or even respect what Larry Raines preached. And I'm like, it ain't doing you a bit of good in the eyes of a holy God to brag about who your preacher is and to say, bless God, I'll fight you over my pastor. If you ain't living what's being preached or taught, it's not doing you a whole lot of good. You're not going to get brownie points in heaven because of where your membership was. We're going to be graded on one-on-one. What'd you do with what you heard? What'd you do with what you heard? It's a personal decision. It is a permanent decision. You say, well, preacher, I've laid mine down. How about this? I'll grant you that. We live in a body of flesh. We're able to get weary in well-doing. Here's where I got a problem. You've picked it up and laid it down a dozen times. And you've got right at every spring revival. And if you hear so-and-so's in town, y'all know what I'm talking about. They respond to certain personalities. If somebody stomps just right, you know, just knows exactly how to work on their emotions, they'll pick their cross back up. Y'all, every one of y'all's been in church with somebody. They'll come back from a meeting and they'll give the world's greatest fired up testimony. And the whole church, the first year they did it, everybody said amen. The second year, half the people said amen. The third year, everybody sat there and looked at them and said, yeah, by Labor Day, you'll be laying that there cross down. That's not a good testimony to have. This is real. Hey, try that with Uncle Sam. I ain't feeling it. Did you do that in the Coast Guard? This beach here is pretty. He's going to pull my shift. I'll be back. You're right. You in the brig. You don't pick up your cross and lay it down. Pick it up and lay it down. When Uncle Sam tells you, if we got that man, and boy, what do we do with the, we just cry and salute, and give him flowers and sing songs. If I can do that for Uncle Sam, Brother Youngblood, I can do more than that for Jesus. Number three, you ready? It's painful. We're soft. It scares me. It scares me how soft we were. He made us stewards over this world. I'm glad we live in a good economy, and I'm glad we have educational opportunities and all that. But I will tell you this, a generation ago when preachers were preaching to people who this time of year were so glad it was the Lord's Day because they'd been cutting and baling hay for the last 2 weeks. All this rain we've had for the last 12 months and the dry we've had for the last three, y'all know who was thankful for that? The hay baler men. Y'all say, what do you know about baling hay? I've baled hay and slung it up. I don't know what on earth they did. Whose idea was that? Come on. Let me tell you something. But our preachers who preached on the pain of bearing a cross, they had a whole lot more connection with an audience that was working 12 and 14 hour days in a hay field. If the AC goes out, we're filing a grievance with the union. We're in a totally different world, and the pain of bearing a cross is not attractive to too many of us. 2 Corinthians 4, and I'm through. The raising of Moses. The refusal of Moses. Boys, the raising was his parents' role. Boys, the refusal was Moses' role. If somebody wants to pull you off to the side and tell you a dirty joke or any other test you may face at the workplace, nobody in here wants your mommy or your daddy showing up going, I'll have you to know you're not talking to my son that way. That would be the most humiliating thing on the planet. And mom and dad, I can tell us something. We can intervene all we want to. The day's going to come. If they want to listen to that their joke, they're going to. We better be praying we're reaching their heart. I'm going to make mine. You better be praying you reach their heart. How do you do that? I don't know. I know one way. Prayer. A woman came to me 5 years ago, all up in arms. That is an understatement. She was a wet hen. You're not going to believe how my grandson's dating. Oh, we're not going to
tell her what I think, and then I'm going to call her daddy and tell her what I think, and then I'm going to tell my grandson what I think, and then I'm going to tell his mama what I think, and then I'm going to...
I said, ma'am. She went, sir. I said, you're going to win this one on your knees. She is used to taking things into her own hands. Ladies, I love you. Do you know I love you? Everybody goes, oh boy. Y'all have a greater tendency than the men to want to take things into your own hands. You're going to make a mess. You're going to make a mess of it. And I said, ma'am, you'll win or lose this battle on your knees in a prayer closet. She came to me half a dozen times over the next year and said, thank you. She said, I was going to create the biggest mess you've ever seen. She said, I've been on my knees. 2 Corinthians 4:18. Would you read it with me, please? While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The things which are not seen are eternal. If you can see it, it's melting with a fervent heat. What about Grandma? Next time you see Grandma, she's going to have a new body. That's Bible. If you see it, it's temporal. That's a blessing. I'm saying it heavy and... It's a wonderful thing is what it is. I'll say it if my wife was here. I'm glad. Thank you, Lord, with all of my heart. The next time we see Kelly, it won't be what we saw. Bless the Lord. I'm glad your daddy won't be bedridden forever. That man's got the personality, just lights up a room. And you walk in, and he still does. But you walk in a room and there he is. Flat on his back. That's not supposed to be Frank Nolan. No. The things which are seen are temporal. The things which are not seen are eternal. How much of your life is temporal? How much of your life is eternal? I don't know how God got us started on this. Let me tell you something. He's helping Progress Baptist Church. I bless him. I'm not going to do it so you can relax. I'd take a break, give you a break, and go to the next verse, number 25, the rather. This is helping us. Because we live in a world that's temporal. We live in a world, Elijah, that just pulls on us. Like Danielle said, the advertisements. The way we think as Americans, it's a war against the soul. And I'm glad God has taken His Word and reminded me that there are eternal things.